This is a CKTZ news update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. Hollyhock has recently been awarded a $500,000 grant for a Nordic spa expansion. I caught up with Penelope Naldrett with Hollyhock to find out more about this big opportunity and new expansion. So what is your position at Hollyhock?
I'm the director of development here. I've been with Hollyhock for about 7 years, working in fundraising.
Tell me how you came across this grant and this plan for a new Nordic spa.
The grant, actually, the title was called the Hollyhock Revitalization Grant. And that was what it was written for. Nordic spa is one element of it, which is interesting. That's what was highlighted in the press release. This was government funding in response to the pandemic. And it was a $500 million fund, federal fund, which is really interesting, but being distributed through different organizations. And in this case, our grant was written to Pacific Canada, who administrated the funds allocated to this part of Canada. It was actually widely spoken about. It was in the media, and that's how I came across it. And it was interesting when thinking of Hollyhock. We don't necessarily always see ourselves as a tourism organization. We see ourselves as an educational center. And I actually wrote two grants for this fund. And the first one I was turned down because I deemed it to be education related, even though our programs bring folks to the island and create tourism dollars and across the island and in getting here and across the province. So that was a grant which was about building out some program elements at Hollyhock. And so the second grant we wrote through the Next Wave Foundation, which is actually the organization that holds the land to Hollyhock and owns the assets of the buildings, is the Next Wave. In going from there, just looking at how do we find this opportunity to both build employment on the island, build tourism, and support our infrastructure after a couple of really tough years. Hollyhock's had 3 years of deficit in working through and being and staying open through the pandemic. We knew we needed work for the facilities and infrastructure. The grant had a number of criteria. One was building tourism, one was creating employment, one was improving accessibility. So picking up, we've been wanting to do some work on the lodge for a number of years and creating gender-neutral bathrooms, but not being in a position to have any extra funds to build, to support our infrastructure from the last few years. So that was one of the things that sort of jumped out at me, is this accessibility piece. Like, how can we make the front of the lodge and the dining more accessible with ramps and the ability to move more freely? So those were two things that sort of came out from that standpoint. And then from building employment and tourism, we all know that Cortez has a lot of traffic in the summer. It's pretty tapped out. When we talk at Hollyhock about what are the opportunities, we often talk about what are the shoulder seasons. How do we create opportunities over the winter or over the spring and fall rather than increasing peak travel? And that was where this grant came out. That's where the idea, we termed it a Nordic spa for the purpose of the grant. For a tourism grant, you're creating a tourism element or tourism offering. How we see it is part of the experience of the healing powers of water, the conversations that are sparked as you share water with folks, but also the idea to build out some of those facilities. For a number of years, we've run Wim Hof programs where we've brought in like feed containers for people to fill with ice and waters to have that Wim Hof experience of being in cold water. So bringing the opportunity to bring in a cold water element into our hot tub area. And then the third thing was the change rooms weren't servicing privacy we needed to have gender neutral or accessible change rooms. So those are the elements that we brought together for the grant. And the strong contingent was this opportunity to provide a year-round amenity. There's lots to do in the summertime, but there's a little less to do on Cortez over late shoulder season, early spring, and over the winter. And that's been a long challenge for Hollyhock and why we are still a seasonal operation. And over the pandemic, we started to test out a winter business, and we actually rented out some of the homes that have self-catering abilities over the winter. And that was like testing the market. And then this was like, what would be the critical number of people we would need to have to actually keep the operations open? So building towards that so that we can offer employment year round and offer increased opportunities for Cortez Islanders year round. Another important part was of the grant was actually, it's not just a Hollyhock amenity, it's a Cortez Island amenity and having that open as an offering to the Cortez community.
So you said it, year-round amenity, but what would this look like possibly for locals? Are there going to be local rates and memberships, year-round memberships? What is it going to look like?
Yeah, I would say we're not there yet. In working out the budget, I put in a rate around $60 as just what would be a day rate. But that was for the purpose of grant. We haven't actually put together what the business plan is. We're still a ways off. As you can imagine, we only were approved for the funding at the end of October. The grant offering was that the work should be completed before March of this year. Of 2023. And it won't be. So we're just going through that right now. It won't be completed until March of 2024. Supply chain, contractors, it just wasn't possible to complete it. We're moving forward on it. The design work has been done. We are working with a general contractor and already that plan for what will it look like, the local offering, that would be a business plan that we'll work on in the budget process of 2023. I love those ideas of a local rate and what does that mean? And I think that we're always working with the needs of the campus, and sometimes our campus is closed for certain events based on the number of people we have. For the most part, we don't like to. That's not our preference. It's to have it available to the community, but certainly working around the sort of needs of the campus and opportunities for the community.
Has Hollyhock consulted with any First Nations, the Clahoos, Hamoko, or Tsayaman, in regards to this design and plans?
We had a letter of support from the Gorge for this one, which at the time is owned by the Clahoos. I don't think so much in the design process that came up.
Has there been any consideration around creating a traditional sweat or employing First Nations healing techniques?
And not at this point, no, that didn't come up in the design. And it's an interesting concept. It did not come up. It is an interesting point, one that would have to be very much in conversation with the Clahoos if that was within their strategic priorities or not.
So I'm just listing the amenities that you spoke of. Maybe you can add if there's anything else in the design, since you said the designs are already done. I have that there's more handicap accessibility ramps being installed in and around the campus, gender neutral change rooms, which it sounds will be at the current hot tubs, as well as a cold plunge.
Definitely the change room that's there is being converted to a sauna. A new change room is being built. We're repurposing the existing room. And then just more from what I've seen of the designs, which isn't the latest design, more of a sort of natural landscaping for the actual hot tubs with, and I'm just not entirely sure they made it into the final design. There's two group tubs, but then also three single tubs in the original concept design. There's three single use tubs. I think were being discussed as possibilities for our cold plunges. But there was some discussion whether the ocean should be our cold plunge. Grant writing stage, you're at a certain level of concept, and then it goes into a little bit more of the detail and the outcomes, and I'm less involved with that. I don't think it was intended to be that way. We submitted the grant last March, and it just took a number of months to work through. There was, when you're dealing with a $500 million fund and with a number of proposals coming through, I don't think it's at any fault of anyone. I think it's just the way the system works and government funding works.
You said that your position is development and fundraising. So is it common to, as part of your job, to apply for grants and seek grants out for development?
Oh, so the development part of my title refers to fundraising. And I would say that the opportunities for infrastructure funding are really limited. And that was one of the reasons this was a really attractive grant to spend the time on putting together that business plan for it or the proposal for it. Because I would say it's very infrequently that an opportunity to invest money in the campus through grant funding comes available.
It's rare. Most of the fundraising that you seek out is through other methods.
Yeah, most of the fundraising that I do is actually for program fundraising for some of our larger gatherings to support the organization, to support scholarships. We do a lot of general fund fundraising, which can go towards infrastructure, but rarely would it be at this level where we would have this much. We did have, prior to getting the grant, one of the reasons it made it possible is we did have another foundation, private foundation gift towards infrastructure in the previous year that we were hoping to spend on, knowing that our hot tubs were nearing end of life and that we were going to need to make an investment in that area.
You spoke about employment earlier, and I'm wondering, it said, where was it? You determined that there was a critical number of people needed in order to operate year round. I'm curious if you want to share that number.
Yeah, no, that number goes back and forth. And again, it'll come down to what the business plan is, because what we experimented in the winter of 2020 to 2021 was not, we did not get the number of people. I think we had all of 90 room nights over the winter season, which would not support a kitchen being open, would not support a staff being on site. And I think it'll depend, because we're looking in conversations, and it'll be part of that budget process. We're looking at two ways. One, you can either focus on group travel and bringing people in and serving folks for a limited time, or what is a sustained amount? How many travelers do you need per day? But we do operate during the season. It's around 30 people would be that opening Hollyhock. And yeah, if we have less than 30 people, we know we're operating at a loss. How many people do we need to have on campus to support bringing in full-time staff, someone to operate the spa, someone to operate the restaurant? And it would never be one person. So it's three people in the restaurant. And so that would be part of our business planning for 2024.
How many people are being employed in the summertime at peak season at Hollyhock on average?
On average, we have, I think, 80 people, but some of those are part-time. So it was, I think, for the purposes of the grant, we worked it out to be 45 full-time equivalent people.
So 45 people full-time, or 45 people being employed at the peak of summer. And then you do employ people year-round, even though right now Hollyhock isn't open year-round. So how many year-round staff do you have right now?
Right now, we're bringing people. So year-round staff, we have close to 15.
Okay, so 15 year-round staff and the equivalent of about 45 in the summertime. How many more year-round jobs are you hoping to create by creating this Nordic Spa expansion?
We're hoping to create, and for the purpose of the business plan we put together in the grant, was eight full-time year-round jobs, eight more. We need a certain number of people on campus to be able to operate full-time year-round.
Eight additional full-time staff. And has there been any discussion about housing and housing for your staff people, as that is an ongoing issue for all the employers on the island? And what's going on with that?
Yeah, that's one of our highest priorities right now. We know it's a challenge to staff Hollyhock with our existing staff accommodation. And we know the pressure that it puts on the community. Yeah, what I would say is that's part of every conversation, every strategic conversation we have, both at staff level, senior leadership team level, board level. And we have some ideas around that, which is great, because that helps me when I'm looking for funding opportunities, because we will need funding for that as well. I think there's great work being done on Cortez with the community housing. And I think Hollyhock also has a responsibility to be part of that. I can say that personally, and I know that's very much part of our leadership conversation.
Totally.
Thanks for pointing it out, because you're right. Another eight full-time. We also prioritize hiring people who, local folks. And these jobs would all be on island, which was, again, part of what the grant was looking for, being able to support communities in ways.
The Gorge Marina has recently announced that they're canceling summer. Having that restaurant or only restaurant closed down and knowing that's not coming back for the summer, has there been conversation about expanding the restaurant capabilities and facilities at all?
There's been conversations. I haven't been part of them, and Tech would be a great person to reach out to. There have been conversations about what can we do to support, knowing that eating out is a big part. There's very few options on Cortez, and what can we offer, and what are the creative ideas around that? So I know there was a brainstorming session that I wasn't in a couple of weeks ago to get creative, because we are also often at capacity in our restaurant and having to not accept more folks in it just based on the numbers on campus, or even the peak of the summer. How many turnovers can we do?
Hollyhock is limited to offer their space as a venue in the shoulder season. So is that something that Hollyhock is exploring as possible avenue of revenue?
It has been. I would say that's not our primary market or purpose. As a nonprofit, it's about delivering programs, but we have at times we've been able to accommodate weddings as well. Are we promoting ourselves as a wedding venue? No, because it doesn't really meet our charitable mandate.
You mentioned that the two grants were applied for from different aspects of Hollyhock, and the second one was the foundation.
Next Wave Foundation.
Next Wave Foundation. That's the name of what owns the Hollyhock property, is Next Wave.
Yeah, there's three entities at Hollyhock. One is the Next Wave Foundation, and it is a very complicated structure. But the gist of it is that LI, the Leadership Institute, is the entity that runs the programs at Hollyhock. Next Wave Foundation owns the land and also support LI, the leadership. Hollyhock Farms is our for-profit entity. It's actually owned by Next Wave Foundation. So it's for-profit in that work like the body work or people staying as a hotel stay or a wedding would not be considered charitable activities. So that those are run by the for-profit. The profit from the for-profit goes back into the Next Wave Foundation. And that's a very simplified version of a complex structure. But the idea is that while there are for-profit activities, none of that goes into anyone's pocket. It goes into the organization.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.